Here is Shem Hatfield. Shem got noticed today that he would be sharing his testimony. I tricked you, didn't I? I sent him a verse, 1 Peter 3:15, and it talks about, it's just a great verse, and it talks about being ready to give a defense for your faith at any time. And I texted him about 7:30 this morning. I go, Jim, I love this verse. Do you love this verse? And he kicked back naively, so innocent. Yeah, that's an awesome verse. I go, cool, are you ready? Then he kicked back, I don't love this verse as much as I thought I did. And then, but he agreed and said that he would share his testimony. So, Shem, I'm going to sit here with you in case I want to ask you a question. Do you mind sitting or would you like to stand? Okay, great, great. Share with us how you got out of Adam and into Jesus.
Okay, well, this morning as I was thinking about this revelation, I forget the chapter, I think maybe 14, it says, the saints, they overcame him, Satan, the dragon, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. For the longest time, testimony to me was about what can I say to persuade the atheist to come to God? What can I say to convince people that I'm actually a Christian? And I began to read, the Lord broke me of that when I was reading through the story of David and Goliath once and realized there was thousands upon thousands of Israelite men standing on the sidelines, terrified of this giant Goliath. And David, just with boldness, says, I'm going to go out and kill this guy, basically. And Saul says, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You're a youth. You're like, 14, 15 years old. And David has testimony. He tells Saul, well, the Lord has already delivered into my hand both a bear and a lion, and I killed them with my bare hand. So David had testimony, and that's why he was able to go and face Goliath while 10,000s of Israelite soldiers were terrified on the sidelines. And then that verse, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Paul says in Thessalonians, Timothy, somewhere, one of the T's, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. And so the Lord began to ask me, don't use your testimony for how can you persuade other people that you're a Christian, but are you persuaded? Are you persuaded of me? What is my testimony with you, Shem? And that was, the Lord began to kind of break me of this false thinking of testimony is about persuading other people that I'm a Christian. Anyway, so I've believed in Jesus for as long as I can remember. I grew up in a Christian family. I feel like Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy, the faith was in your grandmother Lois, and it was in your mother Eunice, and now I see that same faith is in you, and you've known the scriptures since childhood. And for the longest time, that bothered me because I felt like that was a weak testimony. I didn't turn to drugs and drinking and things like that and then come back, and I wasn't, didn't run away from the Lord and then come back. I've known the scriptures since childhood. I grew up, and there's really not a time I can remember where I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I remember a moment after watching some videos about the tribulation period. We were all little kids. I was, 7, 8 years old, maybe somewhere in there, and I was terrified. It was the whole pre-tribulation idea that some of us are going to get left behind if you don't believe in Jesus, and I didn't understand any of that or revelation or whatever. But I was terrified, and I didn't want to be one of the ones who didn't get to go with Jesus. So my mom took me into my bedroom after watching that and asked if I would, ask Jesus into my heart. And I did. I remember that, and I remember asking Jesus into my heart probably a million times before that because I was scared of judgment. I didn't quite understand sin and how all that worked yet, but I was scared, and Jesus offered me something. So growing up, I don't know at what point I was actually born again. I really couldn't tell you if it was that night or not. I'm not sure. But going to church, there was an individual there who began to, he called me the good son. I would walk in with my brothers and say, oh, there's Shem, the good son. And I began to kind of identify with that, and Jesus became sort of my backboard, if you will, to become the good son. Jesus was my method to become the good son, so it became a very religious thing for me. I was going to do the right thing. I was going to say the right thing. I was going to not do the drugs and drink and alcohol and watch bad movies and all that. I was going to be the good son, and Jesus was going to be my way to get that. And so I feel like my whole life since then has been the Lord breaking me of that, taking me from, I guess, shimanity into Christianity or shimism, about me perfecting myself and becoming better, and teaching me of his glories, his wonders. I guess two things I'll just mention real quick of how he did that. The first verse I ever really remember reading with spiritual eyes, I guess I would say, instead of just physically. I'd read lots of the Bible and knew a lot of scriptures, but this section just hit me, and I didn't know what was happening back then, but now I realize I was reading it with spiritual eyes instead of just physical eyes. And it was Matthew 15, I think it starts at verse 7, where Jesus says to the Pharisees, "These people honor me with their lips and with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Something about that just resonated in my heart. That's me, for one, you know, and then seeing, oh my gosh, this is the American culture church, you know, and I want to proclaim this, I want to teach this, I want to tell people about this. So I was reading that with spiritual eyes. The second thing I remember scripture-wise is the real process of the Lord breaking me from Shem and turning me to Christ and his wonders is the kingdom. I could not get out of the minor prophets and Isaiah and Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah. Those were my favorite books, early high school, eighth grade and into high school. I could not get out of them. And I realized they're like broken records again and again and again. These guys are proclaiming the kingdom, when a king will rule and reign on earth, when a Messiah will come, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when wolf will lie down with lamb and a leopard and a goat will walk together and a little child will lead them. You know, I had this image of a kid taking a Great Dane on a walk and how odd that looks with a little kid and a big Great Dane. And I thought, a little kid taking a polar bear on a walk, you know, and that's Isaiah. That's what he's saying, that when Christ rules and reigns in Jerusalem, there's going to be peace throughout the land, and his because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I just could not escape that, as I began to wonder, why have people not been telling me about this? Why haven't I heard more about Jesus coming back, literally, physically, reigning from Mount Zion, Jerusalem, ruling the entire earth? And that just destroyed my life in many ways, and I mean that, yeah. So the minor prophets and Jeremiah, Isaiah, the major prophets, that was my life probably throughout most of high school. I just could not get out of those books. And so into today, I guess my testimony today is, you know, testimony is not, when I'm faced with attacks daily by the enemy, I can't rely on that night I went into my room with my mom and say, "Well, I'm saved, Satan." Testimony is a daily thing happening. The most recent testimony I guess I have, the Lord teaching me, is just how weak I am. A jar of clay, an earthen vessel, perplexed, crushed, but not destroyed. You know, the 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4. And I keep, much like Samuel mentioned last week or the week before about when he shared his testimony, he feels like he's going back to when he's 17 years old again, and it's just Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus. Don't move on. Don't try to go into philosophies and legalism, these things, trying to attain to being a good person. Just go back to Jesus. I feel so much like that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are renewed inside, being renewed day by day. And I guess I just feel like one day I'm going to attain to the point where I don't need day-by-day renewal, where I don't need that daily manna, where I can store up enough for myself that I don't have to go out for the week and get more. And the Lord's telling me, no, you need renewed every single morning, day-by-day. You're not going to attain in this life to anything like that until you see me face-to-face. So that's where I'm at today.
That's awesome. So let me ask you, because you've been a good kid, we've had people come up that were bad kids, and why do you need a Savior?
Yeah, good kid. So that was the outward man, the good kid. But the inner man, I tell you what, I knew all along I was not the good kid. As much as I didn't drink or didn't cuss or didn't do things like that, inwardly I was prideful and I lusted and I coveted and I had selfishness, and I was aware of all these things. So outwardly, my outward man, I might have appeared nice or kind or whatever to people throughout high school and early college and even today. But again, the Lord is still breaking me that I am so aware inwardly that I am desperately wicked. Paul says, "Oh, wicked man, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death?" And yeah, I would say
so,
I'm aware of that.
Good. And are you all your Bible verses in memory? You're just quoting verses and all that kind of stuff, and you're praying and all that. Is that what then took away that badness?
Good question.
What took away your sins?
Took away my sins. That would be the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony. So yes, I am saved by grace through faith. I was once an enemy of God,
Yes. Carnal,
separated from God, could not be, and by his grace he saved me and brought me near, and I am cleansed and washed.
I am so glad you're saved, and I'm so glad he's got the gospel. And so I want to pray for Shem, who was a good guy, who was wretched on the inside, and needed a Savior, Jesus, to die for his sins, and he has received him, and he's just got the gospel strong. So Father, thank you for Shem. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the story. He's got his own personal story working in him of his relationship with you. Thank you that you saved him out of sin, that you have, Lord, given him a righteousness not of his own. Thank you, as Isaiah says, our righteousness is filthy rags. Our best efforts are filthy rags. But, Lord, your righteousness is a free gift given to us by faith. Thank you for what you've done in Shem Hatfield and for the testimony this man is. Thank you for his marriage. Thank you that he's a father. Bless him as a father and a father of many spiritually. And Lord, I just thank you for him giving a defense of what he believes today. In Jesus' name, amen.